It's time to tell the neighbors the Charlie Evers Show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is on.
Okay, we're back once again with James Anderson, the man who is in charge of the Marion County Park District, who knows all there is to know about things out in the wild. James Anderson. James, now you have programs all through the summer and winter and fall. And how are your winter programs coming out?
It's kind of hit and miss. Some programs, nobody comes out, and other programs, I get a few. So, yeah. And then our winter hike series, we've had at least 25 for January and February. So March, we'll see. For our last one, we'll see if we get more or just about the same. It all depends on weather. So
yeah, sure.
We'll see.
Yeah. And, you know, they're like down in Hocking Hills, I think it is, where they have that big winter hike.
Yes, yes.
And it'd be fun to develop something that big here in Marion County.
I've had several people ask me about
that.
And I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm interested in doing something like that. We're just trying to figure out the logistics.
Oh, yeah.
How to transport everybody back if they did all the 12 miles
That's
or something.
That's right. And who's going to cook the beans and make the bread or the corn?
The corn muffins, yeah.
Corn muffins, yeah. Now, there is a place that does a Lutheran Memorial Camp.
Yeah.
Yeah, you familiar with that?
I used to work there.
No kidding.
Yep, yep.
I did every year. I don't know how long ago it's been, but I used to make shingles there every year.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah. Shortly after you get in, there was a big tree I always set up underneath. And one year, I had this log. The camp manager would collect the dead trees and cut them into 22-inch pieces.
Okay.
And then I would split them and make shingles.
Huh.
And as a demonstration of how it was done, you know, 100, 200 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, this one year, he gave me some wood that was not aged very well, and I started to split it, and I didn't quite get it open enough, so I put my fingers in there to get more pressure on it, and my fro, which I used to split, slipped out and caught my hand in that log.
Oh, geez.
And some guy walked by and I said, please, mister, would you put my axe back in that slot and pull out so I can get my hand out of there? Oh, okay. So he started, he said, nah, I guess it won't work. And he left. And there's my hand still stuck in there.
Oh, geez.
That was the my worst memory of Lutheran Memorial Camp. Oh, my. But yeah, cornbread and baked beans, yeah.
Yep.
Well, that's it. What years were you there?
I was there in, let's see, 2014 to 2016.
Oh, okay. That was after my time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I do have a radio yet that my son-in-law got out of the tent where they had an auction-like.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, every fall they do their Apple Butter Festival.
Yeah, yeah.
And they do a silent auction.
Yeah. Right, yeah. And now, Scott sometimes need to taste some apple butter made the old way.
Yeah.
He thinks you got to buy it out of the store to be any good.
Oh, my wife and I, we make a lot of homemade apple butter.
Oh, do you?
Oh, yeah, in the crock pot.
Oh, yeah, that's what I kid him about. I said, you don't make apple butter in a crock pot. You got to get a big 50-gallon bucket or copper tank.
Would you do what, like, Mount Gilead State Park, they have that, yeah, that giant pot, and they, the Boy Scouts, right, all night long, they'll they'll stir it around.
Oh, my. Yeah, with a long-handled stir.
Yep, yep.
Oh, yeah.
A big wooden one, yeah.
And you put in so many gallons of cider and so many bushels of apples.
Yep.
And then stir. Oh, my. But those are good things from nature that, you know, you don't get in the store, really.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. They always taste better.
Yeah, and they put a little bit of cinnamon sometimes in the out in the wild. Yeah. Okay, now going back to the Tallgrass Trail, now you've got some things coming up. Well, let's mention some of your programs yet to be had this winter.
All right. So we're done for the month of February, but we have some exciting things coming up for the month of March. On March 2nd, we will be having Looking for Woodcocks program at Tallgrass Trail starting at 5:30 p.m., so we'll kind of talk about their ecology, life history, all that good jazz, and then we will go out on the trail to go out and find them.
You think you'll actually find one?
We might. It all depends on weather.
Okay,
so if it's a nice evening, yeah, we might find one, and if it's raining or snowing hard, probably
no go, yeah.
So on the 9th, we'll be having Patterns in Nature at Tallgrass Trail starting at 5 o'clock. So this is kind of geared for younger children, elementary age or a little younger. So we'll just go out on the trail and see some different exciting things. On March 14th, it's our Shamrock Hike, which is the last of the winter hike series for 2020. That program will be going on from 1 to 4. If you like a guided nature tour, that will start at 1:30. I will not be there because I will be at the Exploratorium in Marion for their STEM event, but Tom Resnack, one of our volunteers, he will be covering my nature hike. And make sure to stop in the Nature Center to get some nice refreshments.
Now, the Exploratorium, is that for little children or what?
It sounds, to my knowledge, I think it's like elementary, maybe early middle school
age. Is this in the old library?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Now I know. Yeah.
So, yeah, that will be my first time going there. So I'm quite excited about that. So. March 16th, we'll be having Looking for Owls at Tallgrass Trail starting at 5:30 p.m. So we'll be talking about their life history, ecology, and then we'll try to go out and find them. So, again, that's all weather-dependent. If it's nice evening, then we may find them. If it's raining or something, it probably most likely not. On the 19th, we'll have our park board meeting at the county buildings downstairs at the Prospect Meeting Room at noon. On the 21st, we will be at the Trey Rivers for the Marion County Farmers Care Breakfast from 7-11 a.m., so come by and say hi to us. On the 23rd, we're having our morning bird watching program at the trail, starting at the DeCliff parking lot at 8 o'clock a.m. On the 25th, we're having our Friends of the Prairie Park meeting at Heritage Hall, which is the Historical Society building, at 7 o'clock p.m., so it's a great way to volunteer with us. And then on the 27th of next month, we'll be back with you from 10 to noon.
Great, okay. So. Yeah, I tell you, feel it's so interesting. I never thought it'd work out this way. The old abandoned railroad tracks has turned into a wonderful wildlife exhibit, you might say.
That's right. That's
oh,
right.
Oh, my land.
And not just Marion, across Ohio and some other states are part of that Rails the Trails program.
And there's also a, and I don't know how many people use it, a trail that goes clear around Ohio, a hiking trail.
Oh, the Buckeye Trail.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, Buckeye Trail.
Yeah, yeah. That started in the 60s, apparently.
Yeah, I once saw a group of people on the Buckeye Trail. They were going through Finley Park. That's the L-E-Y, Finley.
Yeah.
Wellington.
Yeah. Okay.
And they all had carved canes. You know, walking sticks, rather.
Yeah.
And that was so interesting. Hey, that would be a good contest to have sometime. A walking cane contest.
Oh, yeah.
Who can decorate one the greatest?
That's a good idea.
Yeah. I use a cane, but that's to get in and out of here. But it's a cane that somebody carved for me years ago. Okay, now, so many things to see. Birdwise especially, and now I would advise people to go to Facebook
Yes.
If they want to see a group of pictures, the latest findings from people with good cameras.
That's right. I mean, we do our best on the Tallgrass Trail page, but there is a group now called the Marion County Birders.
Oh, yeah, the Marion County Birders.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's another thing. I just can't believe that all of a sudden all this interest has generated, which is wonderful, that the interest has been generated to form a bird club.
Yeah, yeah. So right now it's just an online club. We have been talking about maybe in the future having an established, actually, organization in Marion County. Delaware County has a nice birding club. So, like I said, it's something we're considering. We just always have to figure out logistics. So.
Sure. And what else? Astronomy. I don't...
That's pretty popular. I know Crawford County and at the Gorman Nature Center, they have an astronomy club.
Yeah. And one over, in Crawford County, the Crawford Park District. Yeah.
Yep.
And it seems like everything that gets started really grows nice.
Yes, it seems like it.
Yeah. And when the sky is cloudy, when they meet, they have show slides.
Okay.
And what's interesting, the astronaut I'm going to have with me tomorrow, she will tell people what it's like when you're in space and to be dark. There's no light out there.
Yeah.
Except from the stars.
Oh, yeah.
And she's, in her book, says what a wonderful sight that is. It's hard for people to realize there are that many stars out there.
I imagine, yeah.
Normally, you wouldn't see them that many, except if you get out in the black, no sun, no nothing. Really great.
Hmm.
Well, anyhow, going back to the Tallgrass Trail, any more word on any interest from Hardin County?
As of right now, no.
Isn't that a shame? I wonder if Hardin County realizes what they've got at their fingertips.
Oh, I know. But, you know, when Tallgrass Trail started 20-some years ago, I mean, we were kind of the same way.
Yeah.
It just takes the right push and the right people. And I think eventually it will happen in Hardin County. But, again, it's just going to have to take that amount.
I remember when we got started here, I can remember Jack Telfer, who we appointed head of the Historical Society or manager of everything. He started inquiring about railroad, the cost of buying that.
Yeah.
And it was, one or three, maybe up to $400,000.
Something like that, yeah.
Oh, my land. I thought, Jack will never be able to raise enough money. And by golly, when, who was it, Dan Sheridan got involved, too.
Yes. So I always tell Dan about Dan Sheridan. I say he may not have started Tallgrass Trail, but he helped finish Tallgrass Trail.
And I often thought, too, that I would have liked to have seen that trail called the Dan Sheridan Trail because all his input into it.
Yeah, actually at the our last shelter house out in DeCliff, the Tri-River students made a little sign and called it the Dan Sheridan Shelter.
Really? Okay.
Yeah,
so well, that's good.
For, like you said, for all of his hard efforts that he did.
Now, how
done.
Much, what size is that building? Or is it just a overhang or what?
Yeah, it's just an open shelter house.
Okay.
It only has two picnic tables, so it's not the biggest, but, I mean, it's something for you to relax and enjoy while you're finishing or coming back from your bike ride.
Okay, so you can get out of the weather in case it rains, too.
Yes, yes, yep.
Good, okay. Yeah, that's an important thing on a trail because it does rain sometimes.
I've been out many times doing programs or research projects and then going out and then getting rained on and then coming back soaking wet.
Oh, yes.
Oh, it's an awful feeling, but it comes with the territory.
Well, that's right, yeah. Okay, well, let's see. We got about 11:28 right now, and we'll be breaking here for about a minute shortly. And I've got a half hour yet with Mr. Sheridan, yeah. I'm all right.
That's all right.
Jim Anderson. Yeah. James Anderson. And so we'll be back here in just a little over a minute and talk about, in fact, we'll take any, how many of you have any questions concerning the Tallgrass Trail or things out in the wild? How many of you have seen buzzards yet? Oh, boy. And I was really surprised when I asked these farmers last Sunday, have you seen any buzzards yet? Oh, yeah. So, interesting. It's coming up now at 11:29. Yes. 11:30. Wow. James Anderson, my guest today. We're talking about the wildlife, the tall grass trail, and everything accompanying that. Birds and animals. We'll talk about where are the beavers right now? So, you know, they're talking about Lake Erie. It hasn't frozen over yet.
Oh, yeah.
And it's creating mayhem up there with the winds blowing that. Oh.
Yeah, I can see that.
Okay. All right. Let me see. I've got 10 seconds yet. So stay tuned. We'll be right back with James Anderson. You know, Nan Britton, the mother of President Harding's only child, wrote the first tell-all book called The President's Daughter.
Yes, it is a very detailed book, should we say?
Wow, is it detailed? I've seen instruction manuals that were less detailed.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
GTG, BRB, OMW, be there in a few. You may think that these kinds of texts are fine because of their length, and you can easily send them at a stoplight. But no, answering one text can take your attention away from the road for 5 seconds. And traveling at 55 miles an hour, that's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Make good decisions. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopRex.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
We're back once again with James Anderson and the Tallgrass Trail. Okay, now, we talked so much last year about the beaver, the fact that the beavers were damming up an area and creating a few problems. Now, are those beavers sleeping?
They do stay kind of quiet or dormant during the really cold parts of the winter. But if it warms up, I mean, they are active. They don't hibernate.
Really? They don't?
No, they don't. We only have just a few mammals that hibernate, and beavers aren't one of them. So that's the time what they'll do. The reason why you don't see them a lot, because what they'll do is they'll store a lot of their food or their sticks down at the bottom and make like a pantry. Oh. And so then the beaver will go down into the water and grab the stick and then bring it back up into the lodge, and then they will eat them.
Hey, look at me. You want something to eat?
That's right. Well, and that's a big reason why they like damming places up, because when they dam the lake or wherever, it causes the water levels to get higher.
That's right.
And so with higher water levels means that you can able to put your food sources down better, because if the water's a lot more shallow, it's a little more difficult for them to do that.
Here's a caller. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Hey, Charlie, you were talking about the buzzards over at the old Isley house.
Yes.
Since the guy chopped down all the trees, which was a shame.
Oh, the trees are gone? I didn't know that.
Oh, he went in there, the new owner went in there and took out every single tree that was there except for the evergreens.
Yes.
Because he didn't want to rake leaves.
Oh my!
Which is a real shame.
Yeah.
But the buzzards have found a new spot, and it's over in Indian Mounds.
No kidding.
Yeah. Yep. They really gather over there.
You know, it's really interesting how they time themselves to come back and leave at certain times.
Yeah, I find them fascinating.
Oh yes, indeed. Yeah. Now the one thing. I once talked to a farmer who, it was Carl Lehner, who climbed up in the tree to see one of their nests.
Oh.
And boy, that was the wrong thing to do.
I bet you he regurgitated.
Yeah. And then a farmer called me out to his barn once, and he said, I've got these strange white birds in my up above where the hay is. Well, they were young buzzards.
Oh, and they were white?
White, yes.
When they're young, they have those white downy feathers.
Yeah.
Wow.
Really interesting.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I just thought if you wanted to see them, that's where they congregate now.
Okay, well, good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Yeah, and I once knew, and it was sad, that I saw buzzards every day in a certain part of Marion Gathering, like at the old Isley place. And the sad part of that was the lady that lived right below where they were gathering every day passed away.
Okay.
And it was almost like, you know, buzzards are known to be a prelude to death or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, old wives' tale.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought how sad that was that these buzzards were gathering there, and this lady was on her way out.
Wow. Interesting.
Well, anyhow, the buzzards are coming back, and they're not fully here yet, probably.
No, and it's funny. Last year, when you were down at the presidential nursing home,
yes,
that's when I saw the first black vultures.
No kidding. Oh, the black ones.
Yes, and those are the more aggressive ones.
Oh, yeah. Tell me more so our listeners can look up and try to. Now, will you find the black buzzard flying with the others?
Typically, no. Okay. Now I should
they're
take
not
that
friends.
Back. They're not friends. Now, if the turkey vultures are at a food spot or, you know, dead carcass, what? Of course, I have black vultures. They're going to come in, and a lot of times they'll kick the turkey vultures out.
Really?
Yeah, because the black vultures are a lot more aggressive.
Yeah.
And they have more reports of attacking young livestock.
Yeah, now that's interesting. Maybe cats?
Cows,
small dogs,
goats, sheep.
Yeah.
And you always know it's vultures because they always start with the eyes.
Oh, my. Now, what's different about the eyes?
The black vultures.
What they eat.
Yeah, that's where they usually typically start, and then they go usually in the belly region.
Now, there are similar stories about what coyotes do. They kind of rip open the undercarriage.
Usually coyotes are right under the jugular.
Yeah.
And then foxes usually come in right behind in the rib cage. So
now, is this the time of year for the, I'm sure it is, for the coyotes to be mating?
Yeah, they've already been start mating, and they've been very abundant. But yeah, this is a time to definitely lock up your small cats and dogs, because as they're traveling by, they're going to get hungry. Pups are going to be coming here soon, probably about the middle of late March, early April. And then once they have pups, then they're going to be looking for food.
Yeah. In the woods behind our house, I haven't heard any of the squeals or yelps from the coyotes yet.
Okay.
But I bet when it gets a little warmer, I will hear them.
Yeah, you may. Yep.
They keep you up all night sometimes.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, and they sound like you're next to a playground. And they just let out kids for their exercise.
Yeah.
Oh, my. But, yeah. Okay, so the beaver have not, they don't winterize, or I mean they.
They don't hibernate.
Yep. Yeah, hibernate. Now, what about the otters? There's no otter in that pond.
No. They're more creek stream habitat.
You've got to have flowing water.
Yeah, that's typically where you'll find otters.
Okay. Now, how much different are they than a beaver?
So otters are in the weasel group, and beavers are in a rodents.
Really?
So otters are carnivores, and beavers are herbivores, so that's, I guess, a big difference. And there have been reports of otters eating beavers.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
They are predators.
Yeah, that's interesting. Now, tomorrow, Ray Seddon, the astronaut, will be on talking about experiments with mice in the space shuttles.
Oh, okay.
And the problems they had with making sure they were well-fed.
Yeah.
And they occasionally, when they opened the door, some scat came out and floated through the air.
Oh, my.
And they had to chase that over the space capsule.
Oh, my.
But at the same time, they were badgered by the animal rights groups.
Oh, I bet.
Oh, you don't want to hurt a rat.
Yeah.
But you can go out and kill 100 of them and poison them. But they had a hard time being able to take them aboard the shuttle.
Oh, I bet.
To study them.
Yeah.
Oh, my. So we'll talk with her tomorrow about some of those things. And, I don't know how any one person could stand all the trials and tribulations of becoming an astronaut.
I bet it's a lot. Yeah.
All the physical part of it and the mental part, too.
Yeah.
Oh, my. So there's a chance for 300 and some people around the country to apply to be an astronaut.
Maybe you should, Charlie.
Yeah, right.
You should be an astronaut.
Yeah, and they say, there goes that old, Oh, my. Boy, would I love to do that, though. But the strain on the human body is something else.
Oh, I bet, yeah.
But now here's the thing. In Ray's book is a picture of the morgue where they had the bodies of the Challenger people.
Okay.
And I never heard in the news that they were found.
Hmm.
But they did, and she had to help inventory items. And she said that was the saddest.
Oh, I bet.
Oh, and that put a downer on the whole space program for a long time.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah. Well, anyhow, getting back to the pond. Okay, now the man mentioned bass, crappie, or bluegills.
Okay.
And
was this at the Foundation Lake?
Yeah, what's the other? Trout?
Trout? No, we don't have trout.
Okay.
That's at the quarry.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah. But I would say it would be very productive for you, if you like fish, to go out and fish in the pond.
Yep. Like you said, we have all those species. We also have yellow belly and channel catfish.
Yeah.
So, and then turtles, yep. We got soft shell turtles.
Okay. But now we can't catch turtles except in the time period that's allotted?
Yes. Beginning of June is when their season begins.
Okay. Now, can you catch, with caution, the snappers?
Again, they also have a season as well. Now, if you caught one on your line, you let it go, that's fine. But if you're harvesting, then that's illegal unless you have your fishing license and then bag limits. And then even for turtles now, there's a certain size requirement.
Really?
The carapace or the top shell has to be 11 inches or more. So anything under 11 inches, you have to release back.
You have to be kind of careful measuring a snapping turtle.
Yes.
But I don't know what month it was, but I used to take senior citizens out fishing to the Police Athletic Association's pond.
Okay.
And I was a speaker at one of their get-togethers, and I said, how many of you used to fish when you were kids? And they all raised their hands. I said, would you like to use a cane pole and go fishing again? And they did.
Oh, I bet they all lit up.
And so every year for years, we would go out there and fish. And I never will forget, there was an 85-year-old man that hooked onto a bass, and it almost pulled him in.
Oh, really?
I mean, it was, boy, it was wild.
Oh, wow.
But then a lady called and said, Mr. Evers, come over here. I've got a snapping turtle, and I want to take it home and eat it. And she said, but you're going to have to kill it for me. Oh.
Oh, my.
I'll never forget that moment. Oh, I did. Yeah. Poor turtle. But like I said, I don't know if it was in season or out of season. Oh, but the hardest thing to do is to pull the out a snapping turtle far enough that you can cut his head off.
Yeah.
Oh, my land.
Yeah, once they're on your line, they're hard to get off. I said, just cut your line.
Cut your line, yes. But I've had turtle soup years and years ago.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, I used to sell them to bars after catch them in the river.
Okay.
And, yes, they had a distinct flavor.
Yeah.
And now if you order turtle soup in a restaurant, it's not a turtle. It's some other kind of meat.
Probably clam, maybe.
It could be, yeah. I don't even know if they can sell a real turtle dinner.
If it's caught in the wild, probably not, but if it was on a farm.
Farmed, yeah.
Probably you may be able to.
All right, we're coming up on break time. It's 11:43 right now, and we'll be breaking for. And really, I wish you would give me a buzz here if you'd like to talk to James anything at all about what you see out your window. Maybe how many of you have bird feeders and you wonder what you're seeing out there? I'm seeing a lot of sparrows.
Are you?
But I can't believe it. This year I've not seen a single junco.
Oh, wow.
And that's weird.
Come to the trail and say, I see them all the time.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah.
And I've had them every year for as many years as I can remember.
Oh, yeah?
And this year, none.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And I look on the ground because that's where they feed mainly.
Yeah.
Pick up the leftovers. But, yeah, strange. But I have everything else. I've got red belly, red headed woodpeckers. Yeah. I've got the ladderbacks and you name it. And oodles of cardinals and blue jays.
Yeah.
Who manage to chase away the other birds.
Oh, yeah, they're good at that.
And, okay, let me see. We've got about 30 seconds left in this portion. We'll be back with another 15 minutes with an invitation for all of you to give James a call. 740-383-9944. That's our number. And we're going to break now in 10 seconds. If you want to help me count them down. Oh, boy. Okay, we'll be right back with more with James Anderson from the Marion County Park District. You know, Scott, when President Trump announced he was running for president, I called him an egotistical jerk.
Yes, I do remember that. Has your mind changed?
Well, no.
No?
See, you thought I meant that in a negative way. Rookie mistake.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Two, one. Oh, no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear... Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ad Council, and Make Safe Happen.
Okay, we're back once again. And a reminder, too, at 11:55, I'm going to make a drawing for a free a root beer float out at Stewart's Root Beer Stand, which opens today. And then tonight, WWGH will be broadcasting from Stewart's at, 7 till...
8 o'clock.
Yeah, 7:10 till 8 o'clock, right. And so we invite you to be listening. It's... If they have to sit out in their car.
Enjoy the root beer float.
Now, can you imagine the former Treasurer of the United States, or Secretary of the Treasury, sitting in the car at a root beer stand with the window rolled down in this kind of weather? But that's tonight. Mary Ellen Withrow and Scott Spears and probably one of his buddies. Well, Scott, or... Sean, what's his name?
Sean Kraft.
Sean Kraft, right. That's tonight, so you be listening. It should be interesting to see the torture these people are going through sitting in their, if they're in their car. Now, they might be able to get enough space inside.
Yeah.
But it is interesting to me because I used to work near there, and I've eaten more at Stewart's over the years. You know.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Oh, my God. Haven't been there. I'm going to have to definitely check it out.
Yeah. Oh, and each year it seemed like they had a little different thing that you put your order in. I don't know what it'd be like now, but I'm sure maybe, again, technology has created something different.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, okay. Now, 7403-39944, have any of you seen the buzzards? Okay, now, what else is happening we ought to know about at the trail? We've talked about the beaver, the birds.
We could talk about the snakes.
The snakes.
Yeah, yeah. That you mentioned, you know, how it's supposed to get really warm next week.
Yeah.
If it stays continuous like that, that's a good chance you may see some of the snakes coming out.
Maybe you'll go out and pick them up and...
That's right.
Put them in a box.
I'll pick them up and I'll just kind of put them off the side.
Yeah.
One year, I started from the trailhead all the way to the lake and I picked up 40.
Really?
Yeah, 40 snakes.
Garter snakes?
Garters and brown snakes.
Okay.
Those are the two.
What's the difference?
So browns are smaller. Okay. And within their name, they're brown color versus the garter snakes. So it's that black and yellow.
Yeah.
And also, too, if you flip them underneath, the brown snake has that really creamy body, and the garter snake has a green, olive green kind of color,
right.
Body or belly. So.
And neither snake is poisonous, of course.
No, no.
But they could snap at you.
Oh, yeah.
It wouldn't hurt.
No, it just feels like a pinch. Now, I mean, if you're going to pick them up, I mean, they're going to not like it. So they're going to
turn around and say, hey, let me go.
Yeah, so if you leave them alone, you know, they'll leave you alone. So, and I know that a lot of people are not fans of snakes, which is fine, and I understand that. But it's when, you know, people want to kill them or harm them, they say, you know, because they don't like them, that's when I guess I have a little issue.
That's what gets me, too. Every time somebody sees a snake, they got to cut it, kill it.
Yeah, and in the state of Ohio, legally, you are allowed to. Oh. But it's funny, you can't keep one as a pet, but you can kill one.
Really?
I know, Ohio. Ohio has some fun laws about that.
Right.
Unless it's a game species or endangered, then other than that, they're not really protected.
Now, we don't have any copperheads up here, do we?
No, but we do have the Mosaga.
Rarely, huh?
Yeah, or the pygmy rattlesnake. A little bit in Marion County, more in the northern part by Morrill.
Yeah.
But Kildare Plains Wildlife Area, that's where most of the Mosagas are found in the state.
Okay, now they're not aggressive, are they?
I mean, again, same thing. If you leave them alone, they'll leave you alone. But if you're going to be going on them and try to pick them up or step on them, I mean, of course, they're going to strike back.
Yeah. What would you do if you were bitten by a rattlesnake?
So if you definitely get medical attention, and it all depends on the person. I've met some people who have been bitten by snake or like copperheads or what, never died from it. They felt like they were dying.
Oh.
And they said it feels like a really bad flu.
Yeah.
But then I know some people who either have a weak immune system who can be bit by a garter snake and they can have an infection. So everybody's different, reacts different.
Yeah. I think I told you once about Hardin County. It had so many rattlesnakes, they used to gather them up when they were baling hay.
Oh, yeah.
And one farmer got bitten, and his mother called a doctor, and the doctor said, well, give him a pint of whiskey, and I'll be right out.
A pint of whiskey.
I don't know if that helps or not. But
he probably felt better.
He probably didn't know where he was. Oh, yeah. But
old medicine, that was pretty fun back then.
Yeah, you know, the old-time medicine.
Yeah.
Oh, my land. We had a pharmacy here in Marion called Lower's Pharmacy, and the owners had a home up on the Rubens Road or somewhere north of Big Island, and they made patent medicine and sold it.
Oh, yeah.
And they got rich.
Oh, I bet. Where I kind of live by Chesterville, Morrow County, they had a similar medicine stand for a long time.
Wow. Hey, now you've got a General Dollar going in up there on Route 309 at Iberia.
Oh, I saw that. Well, it outside Johnsville.
You got one there, too?
Yep.
They're popping up everywhere.
They are everywhere.
But they must do a good business. Well,
they must.
People don't have to drive into town. They live in the country.
Well, when you're on 314, once you get past out Johnsville, there's nothing between there and Mid Ohio Speedway.
Yeah, that's right.
So the Dollar General is a great place to get your refreshments and whatever.
And what's interesting, too, Caledonia has a General Dollar, and it's been a blessing to the people there in Caledonia.
Yeah.
It saved them money for not having to drive to town.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah. But do they sell any worms?
I don't know if they do.
Yeah.
Some of them do.
Hey, that would be something. Of course, you'd have to be near a body of water to really make it worthwhile to have a worm stand.
Yeah.
But now, I was talking to the lady with the maple, and we were talking about O.C. Stevens, who he was dead now. He was a good old timer. He knew nature from one end to the other. And where they lived, there was a peat bog.
Oh, yeah. Morrow County has several peat bogs.
And it's worth millions of dollars.
Oh, yeah.
And I was asked, what do they use peat for? Now, we don't heat with peat bog material here, do we?
I don't think so, no.
Maybe it's more in landscaping and holding fish worms.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. Oh, I tell you, you put night crawlers in a bed of peat, and they just, they practically jump.
Yeah.
They love it. But, isn't that something? And I had a question the other day. Morrow County, of course, had the big oil boom, but something that was worth more than the oil over there, and that was the peat.
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
Yeah, they had several spots in Morrow County.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Not a lot, but there were several.
And those are remnants, aren't they, of prehistoric times?
Yes, yeah.
Wow. And you just wonder if there are not some animals buried down in that peat.
I would imagine, yeah.
I would think so, yeah. But
maybe people, I don't know.
Well, you never know.
That's right.
Yeah, there could very well be. Okay, we've got about, let me see, 5 minutes to go here. Anybody, yes, and stay tuned because we're going to be making that drawing for the root beer float. I'm getting thirsty now. I can taste one. But, oh, my.
You know, I guess we're kind of talking about root beers. This is a perfect time if you have sassafras trees to extract the roots because a lot of the concentrations in the sugars are in the roots right now.
You're right.
So if you want a really good flavor for sassafras tea or what, I definitely recommend this time of year.
For sure, yes. And I had a lady who had a sassafras tree with those shoots coming up from the roots.
Okay.
And I always wanted to get out to her place and get some shoots and plant them and start some. You might have to have a certain kind of soil. I don't know. But she passed away before I could do that.
Oh, okay.
But that was great. And let me see. We got 5.5 minutes. Yeah. Okay. It's about time we do that drawing, too. And I'll let you. I'll let James do the drawing here.
Oh, boy.
Let me see. Is Scott out there? I wonder if Glenn. Oh, and Glenn Coble has Swamp Shop at 12:15 today. Woohoo! I hope he gets a call. He's been struggling. A Swamp Shop, you know, well, when it gets warmer.
Yeah.
And people have.
Winter is just, it's a hard time.
Oh, it is.
And
yeah.
Like my programming, winter is just always a hard time.
Okay. All right, let me see. So. I wonder if Scott is out there. I'm going to have you make the drawing here. It's now 11:56. Okay, James is making the drawing right now. And, yes, okay.
All right. Yeah. So we have Tammy Weber.
Yeah, okay.
Tammy Weber.
Tammy, congratulations. I hope you enjoy your root beer float. Okay. All right. And let me see, what else can we get here in this time that we have left? 11:56 right now? Wow. Is Scott going to make a drawing?
Yeah.
Okay, right now is the time to do it.
Yes. Yeah.
I've got my drawing.
Yep, we got Tammy Weber.
And he's got his. It was Amy Brown. So
Amy Brown. Okay, yep. And Tammy Weber.
Right.
They're going to both enjoy root beer floats.
You got it.
All right. And the thing is, you don't have to come here. That we're going to call Stewart's and tell them who won.
That's right.
And you might have to show them your birth certificate. But anyhow, that's how we're going to do it. So, Glenn,
yes, sir.
You've got a Swamp Shop coming up here.
Swamp Shop coming up, and there are all sorts of people with lawnmowers that aren't using them.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Does anyone sharpen lawnmowers anymore?
I don't know.
I mean, the real type?
No.
No? They're a thing of the past.
Yeah.
You remember the real type mowers?
Yeah, we used to have one.
Yeah, I did too.
I sold one at a garage sale last year.
Oh, yeah. I bought.
It was new, because.
Yeah, I advertised for one just to you go back to the old times, and someone said, here, you can have it. And I did a couple swipes and said, well, that's it.
Hard work. Even the new ones are hard.
Yeah, right. Oh, boy. Yeah, that's something coming up. Now, what do you do about the trees and everything out to trail grass?
Oh, you mean tall grass? Yeah, if they fall over, give us a call, definitely. Or if you do Facebook, Facebook's probably a little bit quicker response. But unfortunately, with all these windstorms we have, we always have trees getting knocked over.
Oh, sure. We've got so many of them.
A lot of them is ash, but a lot of them are other species. And reason why is because, you know, their roots aren't going terribly deep down because of the old railroad bed.
Boy.
So they're not grasping on, so that those windstorms just knock them over.
I wish there were, and I'm sure there aren't, any Osage orange out that way.
There's some out by the 11-mile marker.
Really?
Out by Riley Road.
If it ever goes down, call me.
there's a glacial moraine right there.
Yeah, the glacial moraine. That was one of my questions the other day.
Yeah.
What'd the glaciers leave behind?
That's right.
Yeah.
You should say, where's the one in Marion? Maybe add it for a later tribute.
That's right. We have two that I know of with names.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because I used to work with the Conservation Service. And, of course, that's one of their big things they had to work around.
Yeah.
Okay, it's 11:59:38. So, James Anderson, you'll be back next month, of course.
Yep. I believe it'll be, March 27th.
Okay, all right. Thank you so much for coming today, and I hope you enjoyed yourself, and that's going to do it.